All right. So we're holding on Chof Dalet Omer Aleph, the third line. The Mishnah had said, the next case where a Kohen does the Avodah in a certain way than another apostle, we said, Omer Argabe Kalim, if he was standing on Kalim, which can mean clothes, it can mean utensils, anything like that, or Argabe Behema, or on an animal, or Argabe Ragla Chavere, or on somebody else's feet, in all those cases, apostle, the Avodah is possible. So the question is, Manolam, where do we know that from? Like this, the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, because in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a braisa as follows. We figure it logically like this. However, Rizpa Mekadeshes, given that the floor is, creates Kiddush in the sense that it's a place where you're able to stand in order to do the Avodah, as Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to mention soon, a concept that we learned about in Masech HaShavuos, that when the Azara is first dedicated, or if it's ever enlarged, then they have a whole ceremony that they do involving certain types of lachatilim and a whole procession, and in the case of the Azara, a Koran Mincha, which is brought there. So David had actually done that, even though we know that David didn't build the Beis Mikdash, but he did all the preparations for it, including designating the area where it was to be built with this whole ceremony. So therefore, so the floor is Mekadesh in the sense that it's the space where the Avodah can be done. Well, Klei Shardes Mekadesh, and we know that also the Klei Shardes make what's in them holy as well. You put, when the blood goes into them, for example, it gets a certain level of Kedusha when a Mincha goes into them and so forth. So therefore, the logic is, Mach Klei Shardes Lo Yehidava Chotzes Bein Levein Klei Shardes. So the same way as when the Kohen is holding the Klei Shardes, we know that there can't be anything interposing, there can't be any chatzitza between his hand and the Klei Shardes. The same thing with the floor, there can't be anything separating between him and the floor. So if he stands on something else, then he's not standing directly on the floor.
Yes,
the Kohenim did not wear shoes.
No socks?
No socks, no shoes, right, they went barefoot. They only wore the four big dekohana, and the four for a regular one, eight for the Kohen Gadol. The four for a regular one are pants, a long shirt, the ksonis, a belt, and a hat, a turban. The Kohen Gadol also had the ephod, the choshen, the me'il, and the tzitz. But yeah, none of those were footwear. Although, yeah, they went barefoot.
How come for us, you don't go barefoot?
So we don't go barefoot in a shul because to that extent we don't say that a shul has the same kedusha as the Beis Mikdash. So there's certain other rules also. You weren't allowed to spit in the Beis Mikdash also, but you're allowed to spit in the shul. To a certain extent, we model our behavior in a shul on behavior in the Beis Mikdash, but not completely. And those are among the exceptions. Tosfos has a different understanding, by the way, of this Rizpa from the Kadeshes and Klei Shardes Mekadesh. Tosfos understands that the Klei Shardes we're referring over here mean actually the clothes of the Kohen. As the Gemara I mentioned the other day, as we had a few days ago, that when the Kohen is wearing his clothes, there's not allowed to be anything between him and the clothing. There can't be any stray dirt or threads or what have you. So the same thing over here then, it means that the floor is Mekadesh in the sense that without that, if you were anywhere else, then you can't do the Avodah. And the same way the Klei Shardes, the clothes of the Kohen, are what make it possible for him to do the Avodah, because if there's Chatzitza, then he can't do the Avodah. So therefore, the logic is that Chatzitza would also apply to the floor. Yeah, so that's the thing. So Tosfos' explanation has nothing to do particularly with Mekadesh in the sense of Shnei Todos and all that. It just means Mekadesh in the sense that it makes it possible for the Avodah to take place. And the same way as the clothes of the Kohen make it possible for him to do the Avodah. Okay. So the Gemara says it's Tzricha. Now, we have three cases that we said if he stood on Kalim, if he stood on an animal, or if he stood on somebody else's feet. The Mishnah had to tell us all those three possibilities. De'yashmin, Kli, because if it only told us the first case where he stood on a utensil, you would say, okay, the reason it's possible, Mishum de'lav mina de'bosim, you know. Because a keli is not even of the same, it's not even flesh, it's not even a living thing or whatever. So sure, that counts as a chatzitza. Aval behema, but an animal, the mina debosahu, it is at least, it is flesh, it's not human flesh, but it is, you could argue that maybe it's not as much of a chatzitza between his skin, between his flesh and the floor. So therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us where he's standing on an animal. The Yeshmin and Behema, and then if it only told us an animal, you would say, the lav mina de adam. Fine, the reason why an animal is a chatzitza is because, after all, an animal is a different species than a person. av chaveri, but another person's foot, the adam hu, where another person is another human being as well, emoloi, you would think maybe it's not a chaveta, because it's called min b'minoi, it's the same thing, and maybe it's not, it's the same species, and maybe it's not a chaveta. No, so that's why the Mishnah had to tell us all three cases. Now, of course, then the Mishnah on the face of it, the Mishnah could have told us the case where he stands on somebody else's foot, and we would learn everything else from it. But first of all, it's very common that the Mishnah will do that. It'll tell us the more obvious things and then the less obvious things. Loizu, achzu, not only this, but even that. But also, Mephoshim point out, based on a Gemara in Yuma, that you could have argued the other way around. Maybe another person's foot. Another person is another human being. Maybe he's too important to be bustled relative to your foot. Whereas an animal is less important, and a keli is even less important than that, so therefore we have to say all three in order to make it clear that the same din applies to it. Tanya, we're learning a braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ragloi achas ala kli v'ragloi achas ala ritzva. Suppose the kohen stands with one foot on a keli and the other one on the floor, or Ragloi achas ala evan v'ragloi achas ala ritzva, or he stands with one foot on a loose stone, not part of the floor, and another foot and the other foot on the floor itself. So is that kosher or not? So it's like this. Royan, we have to look at the situation. Kol she'ilu yunata lakli v'tinata la'eren. We have to see if the keli were to be removed or the stone were to be removed, he would still be able to remain standing on his one foot. In other words, most of his weight is on that one foot. Then he'd be able to do the avodah. Then avodah kshera. Then his avodah is kosher because then the other one is only what's called mesayeya. It's only helping out, and mesayeya in beimamish doesn't count for anything. Beimlav, and if not, if you remove the keli or the rock and it falls over, then it means that he's putting more weight on it, and he wouldn't have been able to stand without it, and therefore his avodah is possible because to that extent it's considered that he's standing not directly on the floor. We have the same similar thing with Shemoneh Esrei and with a number of other things. Yeah, in general, we had a discussion the other day in the Gemara in connection with Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, whether the Kohen can stand in such a position to wash his hands and feet where somebody else has to hold him up, otherwise he'd fall over. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda had said that works, but the Chachamim disagreed, and of course the Halacha, as usual, was like a Chacham. So yeah, if a person is standing in such a way where if you remove the support, he falls over, then for in general in Halacha, that's not considered standing. As far as Shemoneh Esrei, as far as giving testimony and based in, as far as all the various other things that a person has to stand for. Okay. But Rav Ami. So now Rav Ami asks a question like this. Suppose that a stone in the floor will root. So it's not completely detached, let's say, but it's shaky. The Amad Aleha and the Kohen stood on that stone. Mahu, what would be the din? So we have to consider, the Gemara says, hey, chada in daita l'chabra. Okay, if there's no plan to fix it back in place, if they plan to eventually, I guess, remove it and replace it with a different one, loyti boiloch, then there's no question, divadeh chaita, then there's no question, it's a chafitza, because it's not part of the floor anymore. Kiti boiloch, the question, rather, would be the daita l'chabra. What if he does intend, what if they do intend to fix it back in place, to cement it back in place? So then what would be the deal? Given the dice of a chabra, do we say, since they plan to cement it back in place, command a chabra damya, so we consider it even now as if it was already fixed back in place, and therefore it's part of the floor, and therefore you can stand on it and do the avodah. Or Dilma, or maybe not, hashtem yohaplisha. Or maybe not, because the fact is right now it's detached, and therefore maybe it doesn't count as part of the floor. So that's one version of the question. Rabbi Zuti has a different version of how the question went. But the question went, rather, boiled about Evan, suppose not the stone is loose, but rather the stone is completely detached from the ground, from its stem, but Oman bin Koyla, and the Koyla stood in the place where the stone had been, namely, he stands in the hole in the floor, that where the socket in the floor, where the stone used to be. So then we have to ask, so according to Rabbi Zuti, that's the question. Mahu, then what would be the deen? In other words, according to Rabbi Zuti, if the stone is still in place, there is no question. You can stand on it. The question would rather be if he's standing in the hole that's left after the stone is removed. No, so okay, so maybe Rabbi Zuti would say, as we said before, that if you don't plan to fix it back in place, but at least if you plan to fix it back in place, then he would say there's no question that Rav Ami is not asking the question whether that's kosher. Obviously it is. The question would rather be if it was completely removed and you have a hole there. So the question is, my coming by. The question then would be, okay, well, what's the underlying question? Why would we think it should be kosher? Why would we think it should not? So the answer is, the question is like this. Ki Kaddish David, when David sacrificed, when he did the
whole ceremony over there to make the Azara holy,
Ritzpe Oyona Kaddish, did he only make holy the upper layer of the floor? So in other words, only the floor as it is now paved. Ojuma Abla Aris Tzohim Kaddish, or maybe not. Maybe it was the Kaddish, the entire thickness of the ground, all the way until the depth. So if we were to say he's only Mekadosh the top layer, then it means if a stone is removed from there and you're standing in the hole, then no good. You're not standing in an area that was made Kaddish. But if you say that he's Mekadosh the entire thickness of the mountain, then sure, he's still standing on that. He's still standing on some part of that thickness. So then it would work. Incidentally, by the way, we're going to talk about later on in the sixth parak of Or Masechta on Daf Nun Tes, we're going to talk about where it says, the pasuk that says that Shloimer made the Azara holy. However, Rashi points out there's a distinction. There's a distinction. David made it holy in the sense that you can do the avoid over there. Shloimeh made it holy, not in our Gemara. It's a different Gemara that that's discussed, but whatever. Shloimeh made it holy, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara over there, in the sense that if you need to, you can be makor korbanos anywhere on the floor. In other words, the pasuk on the face of it says over there, and the discussion later on in the Masechta of what the pasuk means, but on the face of it, the pasuk says that when they came to bring all the korbanos for the dedication of the Mizbeach, it turned out that the Mizbeach was too small, it wouldn't fit all of them. So then, on the spot, Shloimeh was Mekadosh the entire floor of the Azar. So according to that way of looking at it, he was Mekadosh in the sense that it's an extended Mizbeach. Whereas what David did was he made it even the Kaddish it in the sense that you can the cloud stand there and bring korbanos in the post. No, but he made all the preparations for it. He gathered together all the materials and everything, and he dug the foundations. So either Or Gemara may be implying that he actually paved the ground. Or it may mean that he did his kiddush, having in mind that it will apply to the paving stones when they're put in place, or not. Did he mean to do? Did he do the entire thickness of the mountain? What would have been that? The Gemara says, "V'tibari le'kol azara kola." In that case, why are you only asking the question if one individual stone came loose? You could ask about the entire azara. What if all of the paving stones were removed? Can you do the avodah there or not? If you're going to ask, the question is whether how deep was David Mekadosh, then you'd have the same kind of question in that case also. Yeah, fine, but we still don't know what he did. Did he have in mind that the bare floor over there is Kaddish or not? So no. Shlomo Melech's thing is that you can be massive anywhere in the Azara. There, that obviously means on the paving stones, because that's the whole point is, if the Mizbeach doesn't fit the Korbanos, then fine, then you use the rest of the floor as a bathroom. But when David was Mekadosh the area, that you can stand here and shech the Korbanos and do the various Avodas and whatever, and all that is considered the inner area, then yeah. Okay, so the Gemara is saying, though, that can't be the point of the question, because then instead of asking about one individual stone coming loose, instead the question should have been asked, what if all the paving stones were removed? Can you still do that vote? No. So therefore, la'olam pshita le'edad aris b'tahayim ha'kaddish. No, evidently then, Rabbi Zutti, or his version of Rabami's question, takes it as a given that David definitely sanctified the entire depth all the way down to the tahayim. So therefore, there's no question if all the paving stones were removed, sure, you'd be able to do the avodah there. But Hachi coming by life. However, we can say that Rabbi Zutti's version of the question is rather as follows. Why would we think it shouldn't be good if he stands in the hole? Derech shiris v'kas, because you can ask the question, is this a normal way of doing the avodah? Is it a respectable way of doing the avodah in the Mishnah? To be standing in a hole there, in a hole in the ground there. And in that case, it would be kosher. Or is that not the right way of doing the avodah? And therefore, that would pass for us. And the answer is takeoff. We don't know. Now, the Rambam writes on this. The Rambam writes on this issue in two different places. One in Hilchos Beis Abchira, one in Hilchos Beis Mikdash. In Hilchos Beis Abchira, the Rambam just says that if a stone comes loose, then the Kohen's not allowed to stand on it until it's fixed back in place. And the Raven asks over there, what about we said before, according to Rav Ami, at least there was a distinction whether they planned to cement it back in place or not. Why is it that Amma mentioned that distinction? In another place, in Hilchos B'es Mikdash, that Amma mentions this issue again. There he says that if you stood on the loose stone, and since the Gemara is saying over here keku, then lachatchila you shouldn't. However, b'di'evet, if you did, then the korban will not be possible. For the same reason as we had in previous cases where we ended up with a question with keku, because you can't pass all the korban misafik, because you're going to end up causing that chulin will be brought into the azar. Well, so it depends. In other words, if it was an ola or a shlomim or something like that, then fine. You can always bring another carbon. There's nothing preventing you from bringing another carbon. But if it was a chatas, for example, then you can't do that because you can't bring a chatas voluntarily. So if somebody brought a chatas and there's a question whether it was kosher or not. So if it's a chatas to oif, actually, we'll learn later on in the sechtet, with a chatas to oif, you can bring another one, and if all that happens is, because there's a suffix, and since a chatas to oif is killed using melika rather than shita, means the kohenim won't be able to eat it. Because it's a suffix whether it's a valid chatas or not. It's not an issue, there you don't have an issue of chul and bazal. No. So it either is your kohen or it isn't. So for the chafas behemah, you can't do that. Anyway, so the Mephoshim have a bit of a time explaining, so why is it, again, in one place that Amma is saying that if the stone is loose, then you're not allowed to stand on it, so it's fixed in place. And in another place, he's saying that if you did, b'di'evet, the korban is kosher. So what is it, Amma, how is it Amma understanding this whole Gemara over here? So among other things, so there's a lot of different explanations. One of them being that the Rambam may understand that even Rav Ami's original question or Rabba Zutti's version of the question may not be whether it's possible, but just lachatchila, is he able to stand on that stone or not? So the Rambam may understand that fine, since it left it with teku, means there's no source to say that it should actually be possible. All it is he shouldn't stand on that lachatchila. But not necessarily that we'd have a basis for saying that the korban would actually be possible. As far as the distinction that Amam doesn't distinguish between the case whether they plan to put it back in place or not, one explanation is that Amam may understand the question like Rabba Zutti, where the question is not so much whether the stone itself is a chatzitza, but rather if you stood in the hole over there. But if the stone is there, then again, clearly you shouldn't stand on there, but we can't argue that it should be a chatzitza to the extent that the korban would be possible. Rav Chaim Brisker has an interesting explanation of the Rambam, where he says that when the Gemara says over here, why didn't we ask about the entire Azara, Rav Chaim understands that the Gemara's question is different than what, like this, we said according to Rashi, the question is why are you asking about one individual stone being removed, why don't you ask about a case where all the paving stones were removed. Rav Chaim understands, according to the Rambam, the question is rather, once you have one stone removed, doesn't that make the entire floor of the Azara possible? Because the blueprint of the Beis Mikdash is very exact. We know it was given by Ruach HaKodesh to David, and it was built exactly according to that blueprint. And therefore, an argument can be made that if one stone is removed, and then the entire blueprint of the Beis Mikdash is incomplete, and therefore the entire floor should be possible for doing the Avodah. And the Gemara answer is that no, you can't say because one stone is removed, it passes the entire blueprint, because the blueprint included that the depths of the ground will also be a valid place to do the Avodah. The question rather is whether it's derech shirus, whether it's the proper way to stand in a hole or not. Okay. So those are the various ways of understanding this piece of Gemara. Okay, then the Gemara goes on. The Mishnah had said, Tibul b'smoil posel, that if the Kohen received the blood using his left hand, so in other words, he's holding the basin, the Mizrach, in which he's going to receive the blood of the Kohen, if he holds it in his left hand, then we said the Kohen is posel, but Reb Shimon machshir, but Reb Shimon said it's kosher. So now why is that? Turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, be'etzba or be'etzba, oy actually v'loka. The Pasuk says like this, that in the case of a chafa, it says the Kohen should take from the blood of the chatas with his finger and place it on the corners. In other words, he dips his finger in each time and draws the blood on each of the four corners. The fact that it says the esva in connection with the word v'lokach, and as the Gemara is going to say soon, the word v'esva implies that it's the right finger, that teaches us that melamed, the word v'lokach refers to the Kabbalah, melamed, shalotei Kabbalah, elabimim, that teaches us the Kabbalah can only be done with his right hand. because the word be'etzvoy is the end of the clause of the sentence that began with the locus. So therefore it means that obviously the kicha itself, the Kabbalah itself doesn't take place using the finger. He holds the mizrach using his whole hand. But the fact that you have the word be'etzvoy as part of that clause, where the etza, as we're going to say soon, means the right finger, then that means that the Kabbalah has to be done with the entire right hand and not the left hand. And that's what we're going to say soon. Yes, that's what we're going to say. The etzba v'nosan, and then when the pasuk continues, then it says the etzboi, and then it continues v'nosan, that he should place the blood on the four corners of the mizbeach. So now, the word etzboi belongs to one clause, and the word v'nosan belongs to the next one, but still, we can douse in the word etzboi as if it belonged to the second clause as well, because otherwise the pasuk didn't have to put the word etzboi right next to v'nosan. It could have said v'lokach etzboi min adam or something. So like this, by putting the word etzboi next to v'nosan, malamish. Mean that teaches us that also the application of the blood also has to be done using his right finger. The word be'etzvoy has a separating truck on it. It has a zakat kotzon. So in pshat it is definitely separated from the word benos. But for purposes of drasha, we can understand that as being connected to the following word benos. That's okay. Amr of Shimon. So Rav Shimon says, I don't agree with that. V'chi nemri yad b'kabbalah. After all, the pasuk doesn't say anything about him using his hand for the Kabbalah. In other words, now on the face of it, what Rav Shimon means is the fact that it says etzba doesn't necessarily mean it has to be the right finger. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, given that I don't agree that this is the assumption, we're gonna revisit later and see whether that's correct. But for the moment, the assumption is that Rav Shimon is asking like this. Given that I don't agree that the word be'etzvoy means necessarily the right finger, and given also that the pasuk does not say anything about his hand for Kabbalah, then where do you get that? Kabbalah has to be with the right hand. That's what we're assuming. We're going to assume whether that's the case. But for purposes of the question, we're assuming that that's what Rav Shimon means. So Rav Shimon says, you don't have a source that the Kabbalah has to be with the right hand. Does it say the word yad in connection with Kabbalah? Elabat boy even not son. All the positive says is with his finger he shall place, meaning shalotain the sinner, elabiamin. All it means is that in the sinner, the placing of the blood on the mizbeach has to be with his right hand, sure. So that's the thing. The Gemara is going to say soon that he has to agree that etzba means the right finger, because otherwise he has no basis for saying that the sin has to be with the right finger. But we're going to revisit that. But for the moment, in the Braita, Rav Shimon seems to be saying that that if it had said yad in connection with this, then sure, we'd say yad means the right hand. But since it doesn't say yad, and since I don't necessarily accept that esper means the right hand, so I don't have a source that Kabbalah requires the right hand. So says Rav Shimon, since it doesn't say yad in connection with Kabbalah, kibbol was kosher. Then therefore, if you receive the blood with your left hand, then it'll be kosher. You don't even have to put it in your right hand. You could then dip your right finger and your right index finger in it and start applying the blood, and that's that. Yeah.
What about the left-handed people that will do the avodah?
Because a left-handed person is a balmon, so they're not going to do the avodah regardless. Any kohen who's a left-hander is a balmon.
Does it make a difference over here? They're right-handed and not right-handed.
Because nevertheless, it could happen for whatever reason that he decided to hold it in his left hand. You also have in Bechorus, it talks about what about a kohen who's ambidextrous? Is he kosher for that avodah apostle? You have a machlokes tanoim over there, whether an ambidextrous person is possible or not. The halacha is he is, but you have an opinion there that says that he's kosher. So the question is, now we have to figure out what Rav Shimon is saying. Rav Shimon, Memonavshach. What Rav Shimon is saying, either way, he seems to be inconsistent. He is like Zera Shava, if he holds the Zera Shava that says that the word etzba always means the right hand, if he holds the Zera Shava that the word yad means, whenever it says the word yad, means the right hand, and we know that from the Metzora, because it says that he placed the blood and then the oil on his right thumb, and there it spells out the word his right hand. So if Rav Shimon holds that Gzeira Shava, Kila Nemer Yad Kabbalah Mai Hab. Who cares if it doesn't say the word Yad? It says the word Esra, and by the Mitzvah, it also uses the word Esra, that the Kohen dips his right finger in, and we learn from that that whenever it says Esra means the Yamin, means the right finger. So that should be enough to say that Kabbalah also has to be done with the right hand. The Elas, like Gzeira Shava, and if he doesn't hold it, Gzeira Shava, Ki Nemer Yad Kabbalah Mai Hab. So what? And if it had said that if it had said Kabbalah has to be done with the hand, he still wouldn't necessarily agree that that means that for the right hand, unless it spelled it out, because he wouldn't hold it with Zeta Shabbat. So how is it that Rav Shimon is saying, I don't agree that Kabbalah has to be with the right hand because it doesn't say yeah, but I do agree that the application has to be with it. I do agree that the application has to be with the right finger because it says Esra, so what does he hold?
I missed
that
part. He
eats
like Zeta
Shabbat. Okay, so you have a Zeta Shabbat. You have like this. In the case of a Masura, the Torah tells us two things that have to be done with the right. It says that the blood and the oil are placed on his right thumb, and there it says the word Yodai Hayamonis, his right hand. In addition, it also says the Kohen dips his right finger, as that's Boy Hayamonis, his right, the finger of his right hand, into the oil and sprinkles it. So we learn from that of Zeta Shava. So now we have a Zeta Shava from that, but whenever it says Yad and whenever it says Esra, it means the right hand or the right finger. So if Rav Shimon holds of that Zeta Shava, then it doesn't matter whether it says Yad in connection with Kabbalah. It says Esra in connection with Kabbalah, because again it says the Locha HaKoyen Minadom Be'et Boy V'Nosan. And the lokach ve'etzvoy means that he does Kabbalah. So it says the word Esra over there. And the word, if we assume that Esra means the right finger, then you have a source for saying that he has to do the Kabbalah with his right hand. And if Rav Shimon doesn't hold of the Gzeira Shava, then why is he saying, if it had said Yad, then I would agree with you. But because it says only Esra, I don't agree with you. If he doesn't hold of the Gzeira Shava, and if it said Yad, it wouldn't make a difference anyway. Because the word Yad in and of itself doesn't mean the right. So what is Rav Shimon saying? The only reason I'm saying Kabbalah can be with the left hand is because it doesn't say the word Yad. If he holds the Gzeira Shava, he doesn't need the word Yad. The word Esra is enough to teach us this detail, because you have the same Gzeira Shava with it. If he doesn't hold the Gzeira Shava, then even the word Yad would not be enough. Why is he making a distinction? Because it doesn't say Yad, then it only says Esra. That's the question. You follow? No, I'll explain it again. So Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, you're right. Rav Shimon does not agree with the Gzeira Shava. Therefore, in principle, according to him, even if it said Yad, would not necessarily mean the right hand. He wouldn't have a source to say that Davka means the right hand. But Hafi Kama, no, rather what Rav Shimon is saying is as follows. It's not because it doesn't say the word Yad. It's v'hafi kama. What he means is v'chi nemer yad yamin v'kabbalah. After all, does the pasuk explicitly say the right hand when it comes to Kabbalah? It doesn't. Not only it doesn't mention the word hand, it doesn't mention the word hand at all, let alone it certainly doesn't mention the word right. Therefore, he argues, ha'uvala nemer yad yamin v'kabbalah, since it doesn't say the right hand, and since I don't hold of the Zeta Shava that the word hand by itself means the right, then therefore we have no source to say it has to be with the right hand. Therefore, kibbul is no kosher. Therefore, if he does the Kabbalah with his left hand, he'll be kosher, says Rav Shimon. So that's what it means. It's not that he's saying because it doesn't say Yad, and if it said Yad, I'd have to agree that it has to be with the right hand. He would say even if it said Yad, but it didn't say Yad Yamin, it would mean it doesn't have to be the right hand. However, Omalei Rabba, but Rabba says if that's the case, if you're saying that he doesn't accept the Gzeira Shava on the word Yad, he would require it to say Yad Yamin. Then by that logic, he doesn't accept the Gzeira Shava as it relates to the word Esra either, as it relates to the word finger. Yehoch, you have to win this dininami. Then you would have to say the same thing as far as the application of blood, where he dips his finger in and daubs the blood on the corners of the mizbeach. According to that, Rav Shimon would have to say that I don't accept that has to be done dafka with the right finger either. According to him, that should also be able to be done with the left finger. And he said that not. But and besides that, are you telling me Rav Shimon does not agree with this Gzeira Shava? But we learn in Braita, Rav Shimon Omer, Kol Mokam Shenema Yad, any place where the Torah says that something has to be done with the hand, Eina Eli Yamin, it always means the right hand, and Esra, whenever the Torah says something has to be done with the finger, Eina Eli Yamin, it always means the right finger. So Rav Shimon does agree with that Gzeira Shava. So then we're back to the question then. In that case, in our pasuk, it doesn't say the word hand, granted, but it does say the word finger. Reb Shimon himself is saying in a braisa that the word finger always means the right finger, because he learned by Gzeirah Shavah from the case of the Metzora over there. So therefore, according to him, that would automatically mean that it has to be done with the right finger. Kabbalah isn't done with the finger, of course. It's done with the whole hand, because you hold the Mizrach in your hand. So therefore, he should say that that's the source, that it has to be done with the right hand, and if not, then it's possible. No, so that doesn't work. Elo Amar Rava, La'olam Isla Gzeira Shava. So no, Rava says, no, we can say that after all, Rav Shimon does agree with the Gzeira Shava, as we just quoted the Braisa, which implies that he does. So the reason why Rav Shimon is making this distinction and saying that Kabbalah can be done with the left hand, because he says like this, V'chi nemri yad b'kabbalah. After all, does it say the word hand in connection with Kabbalah? The hand is what you hold the shaving ring. You don't hold it with only a finger. Ho'yovoy nemri yad b'kabbalah. Since it does not say the word hand in connection with Kabbalah, in connection with this word v'lochach, ela etzba, it only mentions the finger. The e-etch of a Kabbalah b'em, the etzba, and you can't possibly do Kabbalah with your finger, because you can't really hold the Mizrach with a single finger. Therefore, kibbol b'smo kosher. Therefore, it means that the Torah is not mentioning, it, effectively then, we have to say the word etzba is clearly not even referring to the Kabbalah at all. We have to say then, we have to break up the pasuk differently. The pasuk is saying, v'lokach ha'kayim min adam, the Kohen should take the blood, meaning that he receives it in the kefi. Then the etzba is enough, and then he takes his finger, which, okay, Rav Shimon agrees that a finger means his right, means the finger of his right hand, and daubs it on the corners of the mizrach. So you have nothing in the pasuk to say that the Kabbalah has to be with his right hand. Therefore, it can be with his left hand. Therefore, kibbol will smell kosher. That's what he's saying, because it doesn't say, because the expected body part that it should mention in connection with Kabbalah would be the entire hand, not a finger. However, if Sama Greda Rav Ashi asked Ravina, why would we assume that Rav Shimon would say you can't possibly do Kabbalah with one finger? You could make a handle on the edge, on the lip of the Mizrach, or Makabal Ba, and then you can be Makabal with that. You could hold it with one finger using the handle and be able to be Makabal the blood. No, but where do we have a source that not? Rav Shimon is saying the reason why I say that Kabbalah can be done with the left is because since you can't possibly do it with a finger, then therefore the pasuk must not be caring whether you do it with the right hand or the left hand, but it is physically possible to do it with the finger. So according to Rav Shimon, maybe the pasuk is saying, given that it's possible to do it with a finger, if you did it like that, by attaching a handle to the Mizrach, then it has to be dafka with the right finger. And if you didn't do that, then it's still has to be with the right hand. So that doesn't work. So we can't say that that's the reason for Rav Shimon saying that Kabbalah can be done with the left hand. Ela Amar Abaya, so rather Abaya says, the reason is like this. The Mikra Nidrash Lefana V'la'achar Kamitri. The machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim is, can we darshan a phrase in a pasuk as referring to the previous clause as well as to the next, as well as to the clause after that, which is what we're trying to do over here with the word Be'etzvah. We're trying to apply it to the previous verb V'la'achar, as well as to the following verb, benatan, can you do that? So therefore, Rav Shimon holds that no. Rav Shimon says that you can only apply it to the following verb. Therefore, the best boy refers to the benatan. Best boy benatan, with his finger, he should place the blood on the mizbeach. Therefore, you have no. Therefore, the finger doesn't go together with the word v'lokach. Therefore, you have no body part is mentioned in connection with v'lokach. Therefore, it can mean, which is the Kabbalah. Therefore, you can do it either with his right hand or his left hand. Whereas the Rabbanan holds that the word v'etzvah refers before it and after it. So it means before it to teach us that the v'etzvah means the right finger and therefore means the right hand. Or if you had a handle on the keli and you actually held it with your finger, like we said. And it also refers to the v'nosan following it to teach us, therefore, that the v'nosan, the daubing of the blood, also has to be with his finger, with his right finger. So that explains the different opinions of Rav Shimon of Rav Shimon and the Chacham. Tosfos discusses over here. We've had in other Gemaras the question of whether a pasuk, of whether we can say that a pasuk also refers to the previous one. But the difference is over there that there you have an issue where you have two sections in the Torah are connected together with a vav. Over here you have vav, you have v'lokach and v'nosan, but it's not the same kind of thing because you have the word esboi, you have besboi in the middle over there, and therefore the v'lokach or the v'nosan are not necessarily meant to relate one to another. First paragraph in Kedushin is one place. There's also in Bava Metzia, yeah. All right, Abaye says there's actually a third opinion on this topic. There's not just the Chachamim and Reb Shimon, there's also a third opinion. Hodir of Elazar Reb Shimon Maskum Midavua or Maskum Midrabanan. The opinion of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon disagrees with his father's opinion, and also disagrees with the Chachamim's opinion. Namely, the Tanya, as we learn in Braita, Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Omer, Kol Mokum Shenema Efba of Kabbalah, any place in connection with Kabbalah, with Kabbalah of the blood, any case where it says the word Efba, like in our pasuk over here, where it says Velaka Hakayim and Adam Be'etzvoy, Shin of a Kabbalah possible, then if he did differently with Kabbalah, if he received it with his left hand, it would be possible. The Nesina kosher, on the other hand, if he did the Nesina, if he did the placing on the blood differently, he did it with, he did that with his left, with a finger of his left hand, then it would be kosher. So far we see he disagrees with the Chachamim, because the Chachamim said that both the Kabbalah and the Nesina have to be with the right finger. And the laws of Rav Shimon holds that the Nesina can be with the left finger. On the other hand, in places where the Torah uses the expression that v'nosan be'etzvoy, where it says you should place it with his finger, where then the word be'etzvoy clearly refers to the v'nosan, then it's the other way around. Shina v'nesina posel, then if he does differently with the nesina, if he places it with his right hand, with his left finger, it'll be posel. The kabbalah kosher, but if he changes the kabbalah, then it'll be kosher. So that's a third opinion, because the Chachamim will say both of them always have to be done with the right hand, regardless of what it says about the particular carbon. Reb Shimon will hold that always the Kabbalah is kosher with the left hand and the Nesina is possible, and Reb Elazar Reb Shimon is going to make it depend on the wording of the possible. So v'heichem nema etzva v'nesina, where do we have a case where the Torah mentions the finger in connection with placing the blood, not necessarily in connection with receiving it? Dichtiv, you have a pasuk by the Karbonis Miluim, by the Karbonis that were brought for the dedication of the Mishkan. It says, "V'lokach mi yam afar." It says, Hashem tells Moshe, who was serving temporarily at Kohen during those 7 days, you should take the blood from the blood of the bull, the nasata alkanis on his back, and you should place it on the horns of the mizbeach with your finger. So there you have where it says v'nasata in connection with the word be'etzvah. And furthermore, because Savar, it also means, therefore, Rav Elazar must hold Nikra Nidur Shlofonav, that the words of a pasuk can be darshan as referring to the direct, to the thing directly before it, but Veloy Lifnei Fonav, not something earlier than that. Namely, the Be'etzba'echa can only refer back to the previous verb, Benasata, not to the one before that, Velakachta, at the beginning of the pasuk. Or Achrav, and also it can be darshened, it can be darshened as referring to the word after it. Or not after it actually is how Rashi explains it and how Agos Habat changes the gear. So not Achrav, but below Achrav, you also can't darshen the Be'etzba'echa as referring to any word after it. So therefore, he says also in the original pasuk that he brought, V'loka hakoy midam achatos v'nosan be'etzboi v'nosan, he will say the be'etzboi over there does not refer to the v'nosan, there it refers to the v'loka, and therefore that means that only the v'loka, the Kabbalah, has to be with the right hand and not the v'nosan. So he will hold that the word be'etzba, he will hold that the word be'etzba only you look for the previous verb in the pasuk. It only goes with that, not with any earlier verb in the pasuk, like velakachta, and also not with any later verb in the pasuk. As opposed to that, Rabbanan will say you can darshan it both referring to the previous and the following verb, so it can refer both to velakach and to venosan. And Rav Shimon would say it refers only to the one after it, not before it, whereas Rav Elazar Rav Shimon is saying the other way around. It refers to the one before it, not the one after it. So those are the three different opinions. Then the Mishnah has said, not for the next part of the Mishnah. Now, continuing on this topic of what has to be done with the right hand and whatnot. Amar Rav Abba Chana, Amar Rav Yechanan, Kol Mokum Shenemar Efba Ukuhuna, wherever the Torah says about something that has to be done with the finger, and it says the word, Koyanim or whatever, so in all those cases, Eina Ela Yamin, it means that has to be done with the right finger. So, because we assume to begin with that means that Rav Abba Chana means to say that you need both of those. You need it to say Efra and you need it to say Kahuna. Otherwise, if it only said one of them, it could be done with the left hand. kiddushiv, as the example that you have in the pasuk v'loka hakayim v'dam hachatas be'etzboi, where it says, for example, the kohen should take from the blood of the chatas with his finger. So it says both kahuna and finger. And you would say the yalas and the third. We would say why do we say that only if you have both of them? Because we would learn that there is shava from the third. Yichsid the tavala kohen at the svar hayimonis. Because there it says the kohen should dip his right finger. So there it explicitly says his right finger. So we would learn from that that the same thing applies anywhere else where it says etzba and kohen. The problem with that is v'harei k'mitza. But consider the case of k'mitza of taking the handful out of a mitzvah. There it never says the word etza. It only says that the kohen should It says that the kohen should take a knitza, but it doesn't say the word finger. Doesn't say the word finger. Utnan, and yet we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos, komas v'smo possible. But if he does the knitza with his left hand, it's possible. So why should that be? It doesn't say etza. It only says kohuna. Well, kmitza is done with some of the fingers, but the point is, if you're saying only when it says kohuna and etzba, doesn't mean the right one, doesn't mean that it has to be done with the right hand, well, in that case, then why are we saying that kmitza with the left hand is possible? When it doesn't say etzba over there, you should say, in that case, it should be kosher with the left hand. The Shita Mukhavetta says that maybe the question is not so much on kmitza, because on kmitza, by kmitza, it does say that he uses his hand. The question is rather this that we say that after the kohen is taken, it's placed into a kli sharet, where there it doesn't say anything about doing it with his hand or his finger. All it says is the word kohen, and the question is who says that that has to be done dafka with the right hand? Maybe if you would place it in the kli sharet with the left hand, it would be kosher. Now, so Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says, no, your assumption is mistaken. It doesn't mean that it has to say both kohuna and etzva. Oi etzva, oi kohuna. As long as it's one or the other, either it says the word etzba or it says the word kohen or kohenim, that means that it has to be done with the right hand. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asked him, in that case, that harei halachas evorim lakevesh, consider in that case the procession when they brought the pieces of the korban oil, or specifically the korban tamid, to the ramp of the mizbeach after they skinned it and cut it up. Now we know the pasuk mentions the word kohen in that connection. It says the kohen should offer everything and burn it on the mizbeach. So those are two verbs, the hikriv and the hikdir. But omamar, and we say in a braisa that the word the hikriv zuhei lochas evorim lakevesh. This refers to walking over, to carrying over the pieces of the korban to the kevesh. So that on the face of it, then according to your rule, since it says kohenim, it means it has to be done at the right hand. And yet, utnan, but we learn in the Mishnah in Talmud, where it describes the exact procedure, that video I sent you yesterday, I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, but it shows the entire process, and then it shows afterwards, depicts afterwards the kohenim carrying how they carried the individual pieces, how they positioned them in their hands. So utnan, and we say over there, the first kohen in line took the head of the animal in his right hand, and the right front leg of it in his left hand. Utsnan, and we say in the Mishnah, Regoshi mean the smirloi, the right leg of the animal was in his left hand, or base Urlachut, with the skin side out, and it was not the side where it was cut away from the animal, but the side that was towards the outside when the animal was alive, because that way it looks more respectful. The point being that we see he carried a piece in his left hand. But it says the word Hakayanim over there. So according to what you're saying, he should have had to carry everything in his right hand. And you have the various other ones also. You have a number of other kohenim in the line over there where it says that they carried one piece in their right hand and one piece in their left hand. The answer is no. Kiyam rinan, oi etzba, oi kohuna. Yes, but we have to modify the rule a little bit. When we say that if it says either etzba or kohuna, then it has to be done with the right hand. If it's done with the left hand, it's possible. That's b'davar ma'akav kapara. That only applies to something that if it's not done, the kapara is incomplete. In other words, anything up until the zirkas adam. Or for example, Rashi says the sprinkling involving a mitzvah, the kmitza of a korban mincha, dumya de mitzvah, because it has to be like a mitzvah. So in other words, as opposed to bringing the emurim and the pieces onto the mizbeach, even if that wasn't done, the korban is still kosher anyway. Once the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, the korban is kosher. Therefore, at that point, we don't care if they carry them in their left hand, even though it says hakoyan. So the rule now is, if it says either hakoyan or etzah, and it's something that's ma'akiv kapara, then it has to be done with the right hand, and if it's done with the left hand, it's false. If it doesn't say either esper or koyim, or if it says one or the other of them, but it's not ma'akav kapara, then it's okay, then we're able to carry it with the left hand. What? No, so we assume that it means that it has to say both. We said that not, even if it only says one, but if that one thing, like the kenisa, is something that's ma'akav kapara, then it has to be with the right hand. The question is, Bahari Kabbalah, the Sibru Kahuna, what about Kabbalah, where it says that the Koyan has to do it, because it says the Loka HaKoyan, V'dabra Ma'akav HaKaparahu, and the Kabbalah is something essential to the Kapara, because if the Kabbalah wasn't done, then the blood can't be sprinkled, and the Korban is possible. Utsnan, and yet we said in the Mishnah, Kibble the smell possible, but Rav Shimon Machshir. Yet we said, if you receive the blood with your left hand, it's possible, but Rav Shimon says it's kosher. So now, how can Rav Shimon say it's kosher based on our rule that we just said over here, given that it says a kohen? The answer is Rav Shimon Tauki Bo. You're right. Rav Shimon actually would say, like our original assumption, that it needs to say both Hakoyan and Esra, and otherwise it could be done with the left hand. So no problem. Then he can say that because it doesn't say Hakoyan and Esra in connection with Kabbalah, therefore it can be done with the left hand. Unlike the Chachamim would say as long as it says one or the other. Question is, me boy Rav Shimon Tarki, are you telling me Rav Shimon requires both words in order for it to have to be done with the right hand? Well, Tanya, but we learned in the Braita that we quoted before on Amar Aleph, Rav Shimon Omer Kol Mokom Shenema Yad Eina El Yamin, whenever the Pasuk says the word Yad, it means specifically the right hand, Esra Eina El Yamin, and when it says the word Esra, it means specifically the right finger. So therefore, according to him, it's enough for it to say Esra, and it means the right, and it means the right one, and it can't be the left one. So what do you mean, according to him, it needs to say Hakoyanim or Hakoyan as well? The answer is no. Esva, like boya kuhuna, kuhuna boya esva. The answer is Rav Shimon would say, it's not that necessarily you have to say both of them. If it says esva, that by itself is enough. But if it says hakoyin, that is not enough unless it also says esva. So therefore, when it comes to Kabbalah, it only says hakoyin, it doesn't say esva, therefore it can be done with the left hand, according to him. As opposed to when it comes to the daubing of the blood of the chatas, for example, or the kmitza or whatever, where it says the word esra, or the sprinkling of the blood and the oil by the mitzvah over there, where it says the word esra, then automatically it means the right hand, even if it doesn't say the word koyin over there. The question is, ala koyin normally? Okay, then what is the word koyin adding? According to Rav Shimon, it's enough to say the word esra, then you don't need the word koyin. Okay, Rav Shimon will say that means that comes to teach us that they have to be wearing big de kahuna. Okay, so we'll continue the discussion tomorrow. But to summarize, to summarize what we did today, we did a number of different issues. One of them was that, like we said, if the kohen is standing on anything other than the bare floor, then the korban is possible. We discussed the question, what if there's a loose stone, or what if there is a hole in the floor where a stone was? Is it kosher or not? And the Gemara left it unresolved. And we said, according to the Rambam, you shouldn't, but for the Yevad, the korban is kosher. And then we discussed this whole issue of whether avodah can be done using the left hand or not. Where so far we're saying, according to Rav Shimon, Kabbalah can be done with the left hand. Zrika in the case of most korbanos, or nesinas adam, the individual application of the blood to the four corners by chatas, according to him, definitely has to be done with the right hand for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara later. Actually, maybe he does agree that zrika can also be done with the left hand, but we'll continue with that tomorrow, Beis Hashem. But we went through the various possibilities what he would say is and isn't kosher with the left hand and why not. Yeah.